This is WMUK's Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Cara Laurence. Thanks for joining me for a look at the 2016-2017 season of Farmers Alley Theatre with Deputy Director Rob Weiner and Artistic Director Jeremy Koch. They, along with Adam Weiner and Denis Moulet-Koch, founded Farmers Alley Theatre in 2008. I asked them at the beginning of their ninth season what about their mission was the same and what had changed.
Our core mission is to bring artistic works of great weight and entertainment to the Kalamazoo area in our intimate setting, downtown at Farmers Alley Theater. That hasn't changed. What has changed is we've become a full-time professional equity theater, a contract with Actors Equity, bringing professionals from all over the country. Some have been on Broadway, Los Angeles, Chicago, all over. So that's something that's... We're entering our fourth full season as an AEA contracted theater. What has changed also is I think with the titles that we've chosen is, I guess, a more progressive lineup, newer shows, Michigan premieres, area premieres, and we're lucky to be able to do some of these challenging works that maybe other companies wouldn't take the risk, if you want to call it, to produce.
Yeah, we wanted to provide a different niche in the community. You know, the Civic's obviously great and does great work, but we wanted to do something a little bit differently and be able to bring in, you know, people who have, you know, who have made it as professionals and bring in those professionals to the community and in our theater, which they otherwise might not be able to perform. So that's a big part of it. You know, obviously, high quality, super high quality, you know, as high as we can muster.
And also a home for Michigan artists who have moved on to New York or LA or Chicago to come home. We have had so many artists from the Kalamazoo area or have gone to school at Western Michigan or the University of Michigan who have done productions here in Kalamazoo and have gone on to tremendous things professionally, whether on Broadway or national tours or television or film. And we're really, really proud of that and hopeful that once they go to Broadway, they'll find a train back to Kalamazoo to perform again at Farmers Alley.
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear about, you know, a fly on the wall situation where back 9-10 years ago, it was four of you got together and just started bouncing this idea around, right?
That's right. That's right. We were all in a production, speaking of the Civic, of Ragtime, the show Ragtime at the Kalamazoo Civic. And, you know, my wife, Deneen, and I played to the parts, and Adam and Rob were in the show as well. And we became friends, and we talked, and we, you know, hung out. And one night, just after rehearsal, walking from to our cars, and it seemed almost half-joking, but it just kind of led to something much more serious.
Well, what's unique about the partnership is the four of us all have very unique sensibilities as far as favorite shows or roles that we might be right for, you know, personally or things that we'd like to see produced. But we're also very like-minded in a lot of our, you know, thoughts and feelings about art and plays and musicals. So it was a nice, you know, coexistence that we all shared. As far as any fly-on-the-wall stories, I mean, there's plenty from, we've done eight full seasons now at Farmers Alley, and each show has something special that you remember, whether positive or otherwise. But there's lots of, we've made so many wonderful relationships with directors, musicians, actors, designers all over the country, and it's hard to pick one. I just know, like, when we first started, we were like, man, if we could do, you know, We wanted to do Parade. I think it was the one show, and there's about Leo Frank and the trial that he went through back in the early 1900s. That was the one show that all four of us loved, and we wanted to have done in Kalamazoo or be a part of that production. And no theater in the country in the area, you know, had done it or was maybe risk averse to produce it. And it was season two that we did put it on. I was in it. Deneen was in it as well. And it was just, I think that was probably the one show that we were like, we need to do this show. And I wouldn't say we formed the theater to do it, but it was certainly something on our bucket list. And we got to it really, really quickly as far as producing it.
Yeah, there were a bunch of shows like that. I think we all talked about Cabaret. Mm-hmm. And we all talked about, many different shows. And it's interesting now, kind of coming full circle, the very first production at Farmer's Alley was A Few Good Men. And it was in the fall of 08. And it was an election season. And it seemed very apropos. Yeah. And yeah, just seemed very apropos at the time. And we were almost hesitant just because we all have such a musical theater background, most of us. And we thought, got to open without musical. But that just really seemed to fit the bill. And yeah, we all were a part of it. I was so thrilled to play Dan Caffey, the Tom Cruise part, and Rob was Weinberg, and Deneen was the Demi Moore part, and Adam directed. And so all four of us had, you know, a huge stake in it, and just we were thrilled. Anyway, come full circle now to opening our ninth season here in the fall of 2016, and now we're...
Is it an election year this year? I haven't heard anything in the news.
I'm pretty sure. I wonder... If we could Google something.
Who's running? I don't know.
Are there nominees yet?
No, I don't think so.
And yeah, just to making the statement and the choice to produce 1776, yet another show that is rarely produced just because it's such a huge cast and you need like 50 guys. And that does feel very full circle for us.
So 1776 kicks off the season. It begins September 30th, and the show runs through October 16th. This is in light of the hit musical Hamilton out there right now. But I understand Hamilton is not a character in 1776.
That's true. No, he's not.
He's not.
But I feel like we're at a point where we are, you know, obviously very interested in our forefathers right now because of Hamilton to some degree. And, you know, 1776 paved the way for that in some respect, because when that show first came out, and it came out on Broadway in 1969, it was sort of as a response or a commentary as well to the Vietnam War that was going on at the same time. And the characters portrayed in 1776, oh, you think it's a musical about our forefathers, and they're going to be treated, you know, as these, you know, godlike men.
Yeah.
They're flawed. They're not black and white. They're shades of gray. And it's not, you know, it's not the left versus the right or vice versa. It's, you know, the real struggles of what went on in those months leading up to signing the Declaration of Independence. And you can see the arguments on both sides. And they aren't treated like godlike figures. And that's what makes the drama. You wouldn't think a drama about the signing of the Declaration of Independence could make you emotional, can almost bring a tear to your eye.
And surprisingly, there is dramatic tension in the sense that we all know the end. We all know that it does
the Declaration
get signed,
was signed,
right? But shockingly, you're on edge. You're worried that it's not going to happen because most of us aren't aware of all that went into it. And one of the major things that that I think we all can learn from, including today's modern Congress and Senate and politicians, is there was compromise. You know, they had to compromise in order to get it done. So yet another timely theme.
Yeah, this is not a show that is for liberals or for conservatives. I think both sides of the aisle can come to the show and take certain things away from it.
That's right. And there's also the scholastic aspect of it, you know, which is
how
the learning
gets
right.
Made.
I mean, you know, my kids, you know, Jason and Carly, 13 and 9. I mean, I think it's important for them to see it too and you know, get that education.
We are somewhat putting in a little new coat of paint on it in lieu of Hamilton, trying to modernize it a little bit in ways that we can. I want to share everything with you because we want you to come see the show. But just keep that in mind as well. Not to mention it's got a tremendous score, great songs, an amazing script and book that keeps you riveted, makes you laugh at times,
yeah.
And ultimately you come away from it entertained. I mean, it is an evening of entertainment at the theater.
Absolutely.
Lin-Manuel Miranda paid specific tribute to 1776 in Hamilton in a very brief line, I believe. He uses the phrase, "Sit down, John."
Oh,
and if
right.
I'm not mistaken, that's the opening number to the show.
It is. Mm-hmm. It sure is. John Adams is portrayed, you know, I'm not sure how much dramatic license the creators took, but he's portrayed as, and I quote, obnoxious and disliked. But he was also brilliant, and he was definitely driving that bus towards independence. And so every day in Congress in Philadelphia in the hot summer days, that's all he talked about. And so the rest of Congress was like, oh, give it a rest. Just sit down and shut up, you know?
Well, it's interesting that these shows, like from our textbooks, we learned about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. but these shows focus on John Adams and Alexander Hamilton, you know, two not unknown people, but lesser known.
Sure.
And now they have sort of their moment to tell their story.
Good God, consider yourselves fortunate that you have John Adams to abuse, for no sane man would tolerate it.
John, you're bored. We've heard this before. Now, for God's sake, John, sit down.
I say vote yes.
No.
Vote yes.
No.
Vote for independence.
Let's move on to the next production in the Farmers Alley Theater season. By the way, details, tickets, and further information can be found at farmersalleytheater.com. It's called Disgraced. It's written by Ayad Akhtar. Tell me about discovering this play. It's very new.
Yeah, we try to keep up with, you know, all the new titles. We all read constantly.
Reading it, and if you sit down and read the script, it reads like that really quickly. And it takes place in New York City in this post 9/11 world that we live in, and this formerly Muslim lawyer has been asked to sort of represent this imam who wants to put up a mosque in Manhattan. So sort of ripped from headlines.
It sort of happened,
and,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's sort of discarded his faith. He's no longer following the faith. He did not like all the ugliness that was associated with it, or that he felt that was associated with it. And so he doesn't want to. His cousin sort of twists his arm to represent him in court just as a counsel for the day. And that sort of leads to a lot of transgressions with his law firm. They don't want it to be seen as representing that. He's got a white wife. His best friend is a Jewish man who's married to a black woman at his law firm. So they have a dinner party. And so it's a lot of one of those, you wish you were a fly on the wall for those kind of conversations where you've got all these amazingly unique, you know, backgrounds pushing together, and what comes out after one night is very enlightening and somewhat disturbing at times.
Right. It's witty. It's sarcastic at times. It's very intense at times. There's also, of course, some light moments. But you put four people in a room from those different backgrounds, and sparks are bound to fly.
At this point, I'd like to play for you an excerpt of the playwright discussing what he sees as the power of the theater with Jeffrey Brown on PBS NewsHour.
Sure. At its best, what the theater does is it gathers us together. We, social herding animals, arrive together into a room, and we behold something that actually happens before us, not something mediated to us by a screen, but the presence of live performers, which harkens back to a kind of experience of ritual. And an experience of a one mind, one body, a kind of communion that happens in the audience between audience and performers that allows us, reaches into us, where we can experience things more deeply than we can individually.
Even if it's provoking questions of real identity. Am I a Muslim? Am I a Jew? Am I an American? Who am I?
Well, those sound like some pretty good questions for our time, so I don't mind doing that.
That was playwright Ayad Akhtar talking about the power of live theater. Can you expand on that a bit?
I mean, I agree 100%. When you see something live in a person as opposed to on a screen, you have a different reaction to seeing it. And there's some moments in this play particularly that are going to take our audiences by surprise and shock at times. But those questions that he mentioned at the end are amazing questions to ask. And in this world where we're always constantly looking at our phones and constantly having so many streams of media pushed in, to be able to just sit down and focus in a theater in the dark for 2 hours does give your mind time to, or maybe more carefully, consider the things that are put in front of you. I love the sounds of the theater. When you hear laughter, or you hear gasps, or you hear just people tittering in the audience, especially in shows like this. When we did Clybourne Park a few years ago, there's a lot of similar themes about race and how people actually dealt with each other. I love rewatching the shows over and over to watch the audiences as well. And what's important about this show to note is we're going to have several talkbacks during the run of the show with the cast, with local professionals, maybe some religious members of the community as well, on the Saturday night's post-show. And those have always been very, thought-provoking and wonderful to get the actors and the audience involved in the conversation, because they are kind of having a conversation when they come see the show. It's kind of a one-sided conversation, but then to hear what the audience have to say about it afterwards is always very enlightening.
The show is called Disgraced, and it starts November 4th and continues through November 13th at Farmers Alley Theater. I'm talking to Rob Weiner, Deputy Director of Farmers Alley Theater, and Artistic Director Jeremy Koch. I'd say that season turns a corner around the holidays. And Rob, why don't you tell us how?
Yeah, the first two shows are kind of, you know, politically based.
Yeah,
and
they're relevant to our current discussion that we're having in this country.
So, and we've gotten a lot of positive feedback about that. People saying, oh my God, I'm so excited that you're doing 1776. It's perfect timing. But for people that may be tired of politics and drama, in December, we're doing the rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. And this show, along with the previous two, are going to be held over at the Little Theater on Oakland Drive. Want to make your listeners aware
of
that.
Thank you, Rob, yeah.
And if you have not seen Million Dollar Quartet or don't know what it's about one night in Memphis when Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis got together for the recording session to end all recording sessions.
This was December 4th, 1956. These guys were all in their early 20s at the time. I mean, we think of, you know, we just think of them as these gods. But if you think about that age, you know, and the fact that they were, I mean, Elvis was really basically the superstar of the bunch. Jerry Lee was 20. He was like an up-and-comer. And it's just so cool just to think about how young they were and getting together and jamming. But it also tells the story of Sam Phillips, who founded Sun Records. And he basically discovered these guys. I mean, imagine being the guy who discovered those guys. That's just even more incredible. So part of it is about how some of them were trying to leave Sun Records and were actually going to leave, and that's why they came to tell him. And anyway, that's where the drama is how does, you know, Sam try to keep it all together? How does he keep his roster of huge talent? You know, what's the future of Sun Records? So that's a big part of it, too. This meets our mission in another way because Local Boy Makes Good returns, where Nat Zegree is playing Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah. And Nat, of course, is extremely talented and comes from a very talented family. And we're just thrilled to have him come in to not only play Jerry Lee, but also music direct the show.
Then in the new year, are you back at the Little Theater or downtown again at Farmers Alley?
Yes.
We will be returning downtown to Farmers Alley in 2017. But yes, the rest of our season will be back at our traditional Black Box Theater on Farmers Alley downtown.
But definitely follow us on Twitter or Facebook to stay informed because, yeah, you just never know.
So the next musical is The Toxic Avenger, which opens February 3rd. Mm-hmm. And I'm just guessing that you had so much fun with Little Shop of Horrors, you decided to double down on
That's
this.
That's part of it. Rob and I have been talking about this for a long time, and Rob is actually going to direct the show, and very excited to have Rob at the helm. This is a witty, clever, funny musical based on an 80s cult film of the same title. You've got music by David Bryan, who is one of the members of Bon Jovi.
So these are great, great songs. And what's fun about the show is only five actors, and they play all the different parts. And that seems to be sort of a theme coming up lately in New York. You know, you've got shows like Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder or 39 Steps.
Or Murder for Two, which
Murder
we just
for
did.
Two, yeah, where they've got actors playing all these different roles, and that's part of the fun as well. The movie is really just a jumping off point for the musical, because the movie is very violent. There's, you know, lots of disembowels and limbs being
ripped off
and heads being chopped off. There's some of that, but it's a little more, you know,
tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, cartoony, or, you know, so don't be afraid to, you know,
don't watch the movie
and think, cover your eyes during it. It's a lot of fun.
I found a tie-in to Hamilton here as well.
Okay.
Wow.
During Hamilton the musical, they abuse New Jersey all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's every New Jersey joke in the world. Everyone. Is in Toxic Avenger. A place filled with filthy air. A place full of dark despair. A place you have no prayer.
A place called New Jersey. The Toxic Avenger is at the Farmers Alley Theater February 3rd through February 19th.
Yes.
So from The Toxic Avenger, we move to another sort of tour de force solo performance called Buyer and Seller. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about this one.
So a young, a struggling, unemployed actor takes a strange day job, as some of us have to do. And he winds up working for the legendary Barbra Streisand. But the job is strange. She has in her big Malibu mansion.
This is all true.
This is all true. She has a mall in the basement.
Somewhere you could shop?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Sure, if you're Babs, you can. because I guess it holds like memorabilia of hers, all of her costumes, clothes that she doesn't wear anymore. And this is all straight from her book. You know, she made this book, I don't know, 15 years ago. I'm sure my mother owns it. like My Life in Design, I believe is what it's called. And it goes through her home and her different homes and how she designed it all. And then in her Malibu house, she has this shopping mall with like a popcorn machine and stuff down there. And so Jonathan Tolan wrote this play, What If Someone Worked Down There? And this one actor who plays himself and also plays Barbra and other people in his life.
Multiple characters once again.
Mm-hmm. So it's just hilarious.
She comes down asking for frozen yogurt and he has to get it for her. I mean,
he has a little, you know, uniform that he has to wear when he's down there. He's there for days at a time when no one stops by. And then he starts this relationship with her and sort of him and her start working on. He's like, you got to do this gypsy musical. You know, you've been talking about doing Gypsy as a movie musical for years. And he just tries to help her with that.
Cute, clever, in the vein of Fully Committed, and going to be directed by our own Adam Winer.
I had a dream, a wonderful dream, Papa. And if it wasn't for me, then where would
Let's
you
move on to the April show, April 21st through May 7th. We have the Andrews Brothers.
That's right.
How did that happen?
This is a cute, charming, clever little show created by Roger Bean, who created The Marvelous Wonderettes, which we've done at Farmer's Alley a bunch of times. It's a fictional story about three brothers who are supposed to be the opening act for the Andrews sisters. And when they don't show up, you can just imagine what these brothers do.
The show must go on.
To make sure that the show does indeed go on. This is set in the 1940s. So you've got all those great songs, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy and Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree. And I'm thrilled to announce that Larry Rabin's coming in. Larry directed our production of Forever Plaid this past December as a director, which he's great. And he was an original Plaid. He helped create that show, Forever Plaid. And he's also, of course, a great performer, and so he's going to be playing one of the brothers. And his significant other, his husband, David Engel, is playing the second brother. And David is also an original Plaid. That's how they met, you know, 30 years ago. And yours truly will be the third brother. So we're very excited. I'm just rounding out the cast.
Fitted for dresses, as
right.
we speak.
Yeah, that's so it's right. very, you know, Some Like It Hot meets, you know, this USO show. And we're going to also be doing it in our cabaret setting with desserts and coffee. We typically do that with our holiday show in December. But since we'll be at the Little Theater this year, we thought we wanted to make sure at least for one of our shows this season we had that option. So, which is wonderful. We transform our theater into a cabaret. We serve desserts and coffee. And that's all included with the price of the ticket. So it's going to be a real lovely evening this spring.
And his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
The Andrews Brothers runs from April 21st through May 7th. Then you get started right away on a new production of a little gem that premiered in New York just last season called It Should Have Been You. And Farmer's Alley begins its run on June 9th.
Yeah, it ran on Broadway just recently, a year ago, and the rights just became available. So I'm pretty sure unless someone beats us to the altar, we're going to be the first company to do this in Michigan. And it's one of those shows that, in New York, it didn't have this long run because, you know, I think some of these shows, if you don't have a movie title or have this great mass appeal to families or become this amazing, you know, out-of-the-box hit like Hamilton or Book of Mormon or something like that, you know, it's going to do its run and then leave. And then hopefully it's, I have a feeling it's going to be a big hit with the regional theaters, because it's a small cast of about a dozen people. It's very funny, very relatable. Everyone's had, you know, those weddings where the mother-in-law and the bridezilla and it's a lot of fun. It's like a wedding farce. So we're excited to,
the ex-boyfriend shows up.
Yeah.
The bride is Jewish. The groom is Catholic. Sparks fly. A little bit of religion, but in a very different way than Disgraced.
It should have been you instead of this John.
Brian.
He's got a tattoo. Do you have a tattoo, Marty?
No.
It should have been you.
I don't know what to say. To think that you'd want me in your family.
It's not too late.
Well, that must be very exciting to present the Michigan premiere of It Should Have Been You, June 9th through 25th.
Kathy Mulay, director.
Kathy Mulay will be back. She's done the June musical for...
I think every year.
Almost, yeah. I think every year, yeah.
Yeah, except for the first year, yeah.
Okay, well, now we're talking about the last show of the season in our preview here today. Again, full details are at farmersalleytheater.com. And let's see, how do we wrap it up?
With one of the most talked about and fantastical plays to hit New York this century, I guess, with Peter and the Starcatcher, which is the grown-up prequel to Peter Pan. Won 5 Tony Awards on Broadway, toured nationally, was a big, big hit. And basically, it's this whole, like, let's put on a show, and the set is boxes and ropes and a chair here and there and a prop.
A trunk full of props.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. And sort of the story of, well, how did Peter Pan get to Neverland? And it's very emotionally moving. I saw it on tour when it came here to Kalamazoo, and I was really enchanted by it.
Not only do you get to see the young boy who, you know, quote-unquote becomes Peter Pan, you also get to see the man who becomes Captain Hook. Mm-hmm. And it's this tour de force role called Black Stash. And I actually got to see it in New York. I was also moved, and I thought it was brilliant. I thought what they did, you know, creatively, I mean, that's such a fun part of theater is, you know, obviously trying to create a realistic world, but sometimes just using simple things to create that world rather than having it be so absolutely 100% realistic. And to see how Black Stash becomes Captain Hook is also incredibly funny.
Yes.
You don't want to miss it.
Peter and the Starcatcher begins at Farmers Alley Theater next season on July 21st, and full details on the entire season are available at farmersalleytheater.com. And it might be nice to touch again on playwright Iyad Akhtar's words about the experience of theater and how we find things in ourselves through theater that we can't access in other ways.
I would agree with that.
And yeah, that's why coming to the theater is so important now. We don't want to lose that. We're so wrapped up in being able to get any content we want just like that. And when you take the time out of your day to spend 2.5 hours with a group of 100 people that are all sharing this experience at the same time. I mean, it's the same reason why people are live tweeting stuff, to feel like they're part of that community. Well, you don't have to be on your phone for this. You get to come with a whole cast of people and watch professionals do their craft at the highest level. And we're blessed each and every night when we put on a show.
Theater can inspire, it can teach, it can make you laugh, it can make you cry. It's best when it does a whole bunch of that all
at once.
And in this day and age of technology, I think that having that human connection is invaluable.
Well, it can also be your life's work. Thank you so much for coming in, Jeremy and Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kara.
Rob Weiner is the deputy director and Jeremy Koch, the artistic director of Farmers Alley Theater. Full details on the new season are at farmersalleytheater.com. I'm Kara LaRance for Weekend Let's Hear It on WMUK.